Anyway, the Mormon Nation Agitated Ministries, 12/12/2017, Foundation Mass, after 12/12, Liberty, York, Texas. Today is September 3, 2016, or Tishri 3, 2020. We will start our first service on this Sabbath day with a song, and how will there be any stars in my crown? Thinking today of the beautiful land that shall reach when the sun goeth down, when through wonderful grace by my Savior I stand. Will there be any stars in my crown? Will there be any stars in my crown? Evening the sun goeth down, when I wake with the blessed in the mansions of rest, will there be any stars in my crown? In the strength of the yawl, let me labor and pray, let me watch as a winner of souls, that bright stars may be mine in a glorious day, when the praise like the sea billows roll. Will there be any stars in my crown, when at evening the sun goeth down? When I wake with the blessed in the mansions of rest, will there be any stars in my crown? Oh, what joy it will be when His face I behold, living gems at His feet to lay down. It was sweet in my bliss in the city of gold, should there be any stars in my crown? Will there be any stars in my crown? When at evening the sun goeth down, when I wake in the bliss in the night of rest, will there be any stars in my crown? Clean and unclean spirit, that's the name of our topic tonight. We're going to start with Isaiah 52, verse 11. Depart ye, go you out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go you out of the midst of her. Be you clean that bear the vessels of the Yahweh. Alright, now you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. And let's pick up on something else along that line. It says that, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's 2 Corinthians 6, starting with 14. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Okay, and what concord hath Yahshua with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of Yahweh with idols? For ye are the temple of the living Yahweh, as Elohim has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Yahweh, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That's the call he gave to my wife and I. In 2002 down at Kermit, he says, come out from among them, and I will receive you and touch no unclean thing. Well, we had a lot of unclean people there at that time in Kermit. We had Mount One named Dennis Roberts. He came in, I believe, from Missouri. He used to work in the prison system, I think, as a guard or something. He had come in for the special feast days. Now, I remember he'd come in for the last Passover I had down in Kermit in 2002, I believe it was. And we were having the Passover supper, and I said, well, are you going to come in and take it with us? He said, oh, no, I'm going outside. So I asked him, I said, when the service was over, I said, what were you doing outside? He said, oh, I was channeling. I was out here praying. Okay. I was praying about what was going on inside there. And he was out there channeling Lucifer. He was a great channeler at that time. And at the time, he didn't see anything wrong with it. He thought it was just that he was actually challenging Lucifer. He talked like he was against Lucifer, that he was challenging him. He was channeling to him, though, communicating with him, making warfare against him. He pretended to be or something like that. But anyway, we had a lot of uncleanness going on down there in front of Texas. So that was a call he gave to me and my wife in 2 Corinthians 6:17. It says, wherefore come out from among them, be you separate, and say to Yahweh, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Yahweh Almighty. Now, we have in the scriptures, there's 13 scriptures, starting with Zechariah 13:2, that has the word unclean in it. We might examine those scriptures now at this time and see what we can learn. It says in Zechariah 13:2, and it shall come to pass in that day, says the Yahshua of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered, and also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. Matthew 12:43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Okay, Mark 1:23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. Mark 1:26. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. Mark 3:30. Because they said, he hath an unclean spirit. Mark 5:2. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Mark 7:25. For a certain woman, whose a young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Luke 8:29. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oft times it had taught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Luke 9:42. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him, and Yahshua rebuked the unclean spirit, and healed the child, and delivered him again to his father. Luke 11:24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. Luke 4:33. And in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice. Revelation 18:2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. So now this is the scene that makes up Babylon today. If you are being vexed with evil spirits, maybe you should examine your own soul and figure out when it all began and what started it. Because anyone that wants to be free from an unclean spirit, they can be exorcised. They have what they call exorcism. And if they truly want to be delivered from it, they can be delivered from evil spirits, from unclean spirits. They can be delivered from these demons. These demons are like spirits because, you know, it says there in the Ephesians that we wrestle not. Well, let's go read it. Let's see, I believe that's in 6. Let's see. Children, obey your parents. This is Ephesians chapter 6. We'll start with verse 1. In the Yahweh, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Yahweh. Servants, be obedient unto them that are your masters according unto the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Yahshua. Not with eye service as men pleasing, but as the servants of the Yahshua, doing the will of Yahweh from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Yahweh and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Yahweh, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Yahweh and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of the Yahweh, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of Yahweh, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of the faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Elohim, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Yahweh, shall make known unto you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your heart. Peace be to the brethren and love of the faith from Yahweh the Father and the Savior Yahshua the Messiah. Grace be with all them that love our Savior Yahshua the Messiah in sincerity. Okay, I believe he may be looking for chapter 4 of Ephesians. Okay, start with verse 1. Therefore, the prisoners of the Yahshua beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Master, one faith, one baptism, one Elohim and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of the gift of Yahshua. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Yahshua, till we all come in the unity of the faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of Yahweh unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Yahshua, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, that speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Yahshua, from whom the whole body fit jointly together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according unto the effectual working and the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Yahshua that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of Yahshua through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. There's that uncleanness. But you have not so learned Yahshua, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Yahshua, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt, according unto the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after Yahweh is created in righteousness and a true holiness. Okay, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So don't give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands for the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of Yahweh, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption, that all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from among you with malice, with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Yahweh for Yeshua's sake hath forgiven you. Now let's go to Joshua chapter 22. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of Yahweh, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice and all that I commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Yahweh your Elohim. And now the Yahweh your Elohim hath given rest unto your brethren, and as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get ye unto your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses the servant of Yahweh gave you on the other side of Jordan. Now, I plan to do my next sermon, Apostasy at the Jordan. Alright, Brother Johnson said that there are three feeding pastures this side of crossing over the Jordan and the Anatot. And he said Gilead Center represented the third and last feeding pasture to be fed in before crossing over into the Promised Land. Well, you see, Brother Johnson prophesied when we were only 3.5 years into the Gilead period's the third feeding pasture. We was only three and a half years into it when he said we're going to cross over Jordan. Well, Bashan, the first feeding pasture, belongs to the Adventist up front, the Seventh-day Adventist band from 1850 to 1890. They fed for 40 years. The second feeding pasture was Mount Carmel from 1930 to 1970. They fed for 40 years. And Brother Johnson knew this. And he said we were the third feeding pasture, Gilead. But he said we were going to only feed 3.5 years in Gilead and we're going to cross over Jordan. And it's so sad because, see, Brother Johnson had lost his way by the Passover of 1971. When he held it at the wrong place and for the wrong reason and claimed that that was the launching of his movement of Gilead Center, of Mount Gilead. He said that, but he launched his movement officially in 1970, according to prophecy, and yet, I mean, at the Passover 1970, he launched his movement. Well, he called his movement the third feeding pasture, Gilead. And then in 1971, he said, this is the beginning of our movement. Because this is the end of the 120 years of Moses' life in Tappanannetap. Noah and the Ark, he said, 120 year period. And also the end of a 120-year period of Moses and his 340-year period that he had allotted to him. Moses literally lived out the 120 years. But in the Antitype, he had 340-year periods divided up among the three feeding pastures, Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead. As the 120 years of Noah also covered Moses' three antitypical periods, 120 years, from 1850 to 1970. The antitypical 40-year periods of Moses was from 1850 to 1970. The 120-year period for Noah run parallel with that. It also ended in 1970. So Brother Johnson said 1970 was the end of the 340-year period for Moses. That's when he started his Gilead Center's 40-year period. But he called. But he said in 1971 was the beginning of his ministry from the Antitype of Noah. So he was one year different with Noah as he was with the 3 years of Moses. I mean, the 3 40-year period of Moses. So, what I'm trying to say is that Gilead Center also had a 40-year allotted time. And Brother Johnson said that Gilead Center was going to cross over the Jordan after 3.5 years. And he showed on a chart that V.T. Hollis had drawn up. So he was so sure that he had it right because he had V.T. Hollis' chart in front of him proving it. And so that's what he preached. And when it didn't happen, he said he wasn't going to rely on Ellen G. White or V.T. Hollis anymore to confirm his predictions that he's going to make in the future. Well, I can understand that, because he's not supposed to depend on the prophets that went before him. Because the Bible says you have also more sure word of prophecy, you too well should take heed, as unto light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rises in your heart. That's what 2 Peter 1:19 says. Okay, I believe that's right. Or is it 1 Peter 2:19? I get confused on that. Let's go look it up. I sometimes get confused on that. Let's see. In 1 Peter, or it would be 2 Peter, I guess. 1:19. It says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in our heart. But Brother Johnson had the key to prophecy. He had the key to it up to 1970. He had the connecting links all straight. He had it all right in his mind. He had everything right up to 1970. But he did something wrong. All he had to do is just connect on to what had been taught before him. The last thing that had been taught before him, all he did is just connect up to it and continue that line of thinking. That's all he had to do. But instead he said, no, I'm removed from all of that. We're removed from all that because we got a new feeding pasture, we got a new message, we got a new movement. Everything is brand new. So we're not going to connect up with none of that stuff. And that's what got him in trouble. All right, now let's go back to our readings in, I was telling you Joshua. Well, actually, I'm reading from the book of Judges. Huh? Oh, no, it's Joshua. It looked like it was Judges here. Okay. So it says, now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked Yahweh, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? Now, this is in, Alright, I got sidetracked there somehow. Let's get back to Joshua chapter 22, I'm on verse 4. Now the Yahweh your Elohim hath given a rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore, now return ye and get you unto your tents, and to the land of your possession, which Moses, servant of Yahweh, gave you on the other side of Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of Yahweh, charged you, to love the Yahweh your Elohim, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went unto their tents. Now to the one half of the tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given possession in Bashan, but unto the other half thereof gave Joshua among their brethren on this side Jordan westward. And when Joshua went, sent them away also unto their tents, then he blessed them. And expect on them saying, return with much riches unto your tents, and with very much cattle, with silver, and with gold, and with brass, and with iron, and with very much raiment, divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. And the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh returned, and departed from the children of Israel out of Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go unto the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, whereof they were possessed according to the word of the Yahweh by the hand of Moses. And when they came unto the borders of Jordan that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. And the children of Israel heard say, behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan and the borders of Jordan, at the passage of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. And the children of Israel sent unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, into the land of Gilead, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, with him 10 princes of each chief house a prince, throughout all the tribes of Israel, and each one was an head of the house of their fathers among the thousands of Israel. And they came unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, and to the land of Gilead, and they spake with them, saying, thus saith the whole congregation of Yahweh, what trespass is this that ye have committed against the Elohim of Israel, to turn away this place from following the Yahweh, and that ye have builded ye an altar, that ye might rebel this day against the Yahweh? Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day? Although there was a plague in the congregation of the Yahweh, but that you must turn away this day from following Yahweh, and it will be, seeing ye rebel today against Yahweh, that tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel. Notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be unclean, then pass ye over unto the land of the possession of Yahweh, wherein the Yahweh's tabernacle dwelleth, and take possession among us, but rebel not against Yahweh, nor rebel against us in building you an altar beside the altar of Yahweh or Elohim. Did not Achan the son of Zerah commit a trespass in the accursed saying, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel, and that man perished not alone in his iniquity? Then the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh answered and said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel, Yahweh Elohim of the gods, Yahweh Elohim of the gods, he knoweth, and Israel he shall know. If it be in rebellion, or if in transgression against Yahweh, save us not this day, that we have built us an altar to turn from following the Yahweh, or if to offer their own burnt offerings or meat offerings, or if to offer peace offerings their own, let the Yahweh himself require it. And if we have not rather done it for fear of this thing, saying, in time to come your children might speak unto our children, saying, what have you to do with the Yahweh Elohim of Israel? For the Yahweh hath made Jordan a border between us and you, ye children of Reuben and children of Gad. You have no part in the Yahweh. So shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Yahweh. Therefore we said, let us now prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offering nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between us and you and our generations after us, that we might do the service of Yahweh before him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifices and with our peace offering, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, you have no part in the Yahweh. Therefore said we, that it shall be when they should say to us or to our generations in time to come, that we may say again, we behold the pattern of the altar of Yahweh, which our fathers made, not for burnt offerings, nor for sacrifices, but as a witness between us and you. Yahweh forbid that we should rebel against Yahweh and turn this day from following Yahweh, to build an altar for burnt offerings, for meat offerings, or for sacrifices, beside the altar of the Yahweh Elohim, that is before his tabernacle. And when Phinehas the priest and the princes of the congregation and his of the thousands of Israel, which were with him, heard the words that the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the children of Manasseh spake, it pleased them. And Phinehas the son of Eleazar the priest said unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the children of Manasseh, This day we perceive that the Yahweh is among us, because ye have not committed this trespass against the Yahweh. Now ye have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Yahweh. And Phinehas the son of Eleazar the priest and the princes returned from the children of Reuben and from the children of Gad out of the land of Gilead unto the land of Canaan to the children of Israel and brought them word again. And the thing pleased the children of Israel. And the children of Israel blessed Yahweh and did not intend to go up against them in the battle to destroy the land wherein the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed, for it shall be a witness between us that the Yahweh is Elohim. Ezra chapter 9. That is Ezra, E-Z-R-A, verse 1. Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according unto their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and the rulers hath been chief in their trespass. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle, and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard, and sat down astonished. Then were assembled unto me every one that trembled at the words of Yahweh of Israel, because of the transgressions of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice I rose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Yahweh my Elohim, and said, O my Elohim, I am ashamed and blessed to lift up my face to thee, my Elohim, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heaven. Since the days of our fathers have we been in great trespass until this day, and for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, have been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to the confusion of face as it is this day. And now for a little space grace hath been showed from the Yahweh Elohim to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our Elohim may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our Yahweh hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our Elohim, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. And now, O our Elohim, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments. which thou hast commanded by thy servants, the prophets, saying, the land which around to which you go to possess it is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the land, with the abominations which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. But that's what's happened today in the land of Israel. Yahweh's got to clean it out. He's got to clean out the uncleanness. Ezra 9:12. Now therefore, give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat the good of the land, and leave it for an inheritance unto your children forever. Ezra 9:13, and after all that is come upon us for our evil deeds, and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, Elohim, hast punished us less than our iniquity deserve, and hast given us such deliverance as is, should we again break thy commandments, and join an affinity with the people of these abominations, wouldest not thou be angry with us till thou hast consumed us, so that there should be no remnant for escaping? You see why Yahweh has to bring forth a remnant today, so that Israel can escape finally, and the last ones to escape are going to be the 144,000. And you'll find that prophecy in Isaiah 66. Those that escaped of Israel. You got to, now we're going to have a remnant that's going to have to escape out of Israel. Because they have let the enemy come in, and then they decide to live as partners with them in Yahweh's promised land. O Yahweh Elohim of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. You think it's any different today? Verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him, that he may rest, till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Well, we represent this tender branch that has sprouted, and it will not cease. This tender branch sprouted actually in 1970 at Gilead Center. Rhoda Johnson announced the sprouting. And he gave the year, and he gave the message that sprouted this tender branch. Job 14:8. Though the root thereof wash hole in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wastes away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. O thou wouldest hide me in the grave, if thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldst appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. For now thou numberest my steps, though thou not watch over my sand. Dost thou not watch over my sin? That's a question mark. My transgression is sealed up in a bag. and thou sowest up mine iniquity. And surely the mountain falling cometh to naught, and the rock is removed out of his place. The waters wear the stones, thou washest away the things which grow out of the dust of the earth, and thou destroyest the hope of man. Thou prevailest forever against him, and he passes. Thou changest his countenance, and sendest him away. His sons have come to honor, and he knoweth it not, and they are brought low, but he perceiveth it not of them. But his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn. Okay, that's the end of Job chapter 14. Let's go to another chapter that has the word unclean in it. We're dealing with this subject of the unclean. Now in Job 36, we're going to go to that chapter. Start with verse 1. It says, Elihu also perceived and said. Now Elihu is a fourth friend of Job that come to see Job while he was sitting in ashes. The three friends come and sit with Job for 7 days, and then I believe at the end of the 7 days Elihu came. He was a neighbor also. And he thinks he's smarter than all of them. He let all four of them have their say first, Job and his three friends. For 7 days, they didn't say anything. And at the end of 7 days, his three friends spoke up, and they said all kinds of false things about Job. And Job said all kinds of true things about it all. And here comes Elihu. He thinks he's smarter than all of them. And so now he's going to give his opinion. And now he starts here in Job 36:1. And he says, Elihu also proceeded and said, suffer me a little, and I will show thee that I have yet to speak on Yahweh's behalf. Oh! Now here comes this smart little young upstart. And I mean, here he is. He's going to show him the truth of the whole thing. He's got a lot of pride, arrogancy. Verse 3, I will fetch my knowledge from afar and will ascribe righteousness unto my Maker. Oh, you mean Job hadn't been doing that? Oh boy. For truly my words shall not be false. Oh, he says, truly my words shall not be false. He that is perfect in knowledge is with thee. Behold, Yahweh is mighty and despises not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. That's what Cordae and Abiram said in the wilderness when they challenged Moses for the leadership. They said, well, Yahweh is mighty, and he doesn't despise any. Who do you think you all are? We got just as much right to be preached as you do, Cordae and Abiram said to Moses. And so they proceeded to make themselves priests over their people. And Yahweh come down and showed his opinion, and Yahweh didn't like what he saw about these presumptuous people, and so he opened up the earth and swallowed them up and covered the earth over the top of them, and in one instant they were no more. Same thing today. He'll do the same thing today. He preserveth not the life of the wicked, but giveth right to the poor. Job 36:6. So if you're on the side of the wicked, if you're an evil person, if you're possessed with demons, if you're courting demons and every day of your life and you're having ongoing truck with them, he said, then you're classified as wicked. And he's not going to preserve your life, but giveth right to the poor. He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous, but his kings are there on the throne. He doth establish them forever, and they are exalted. And if they be bound in fetters and be holden in cords of affliction, this is as Elihu, he's still talking. Then he showeth them their work and their transgressions that they have exceeded. He showeth also their ear to discipline, and commandeth that they return from iniquity. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. that if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. But the hypocrites in heart heap up wrath, they cry not when the heat bindeth them. They die in the youth, and their life is among the unclean. He delivereth the poor in his affliction, and openeth their ears in oppression. Even so would he have removed thee out of the strait into a broad place, where there is no straightness, and that which should be set on thy table should be full of fatness. If thou hast fulfilled the judgment of the wicked, judgment and justice take hold on thee. So he's telling Job and his three friends, he said, well, you fulfilled the judgment of the wicked. Judgment and justice take hold on thee now. And he said, let judgment and justice take hold on you. You fulfill the judgment of the wicked. Because, and then Elihu continues talking here. He's a smart little fellow. He's got it all knowed up. He's all correct now. Because there's wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. So he's telling Job and his three friends, he said, now, beware, because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee, Job, away with his stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. But he esteemed thy riches. Now, Job was the richest man of the East, you know, and he's talking to Job. Will he esteem thy riches? This thy is Job he's talking to. No, not gold, nor all the forces of strength. Now, he don't esteem none of that. But yet, Yahweh gives that all to Job because of faithfulness, but this here real smart little fellow, this little upstart that comes from across the way to finally give him an answer to their problem, Job and his three friends, Job sitting there in ashes, covered with boils from head to toe, suffering, terrible pain. And here comes this little smart, little rich, healthy person, neighbor. Here he comes. He said, desire not the night when people are cut off in their place. Take heed, regard not iniquity, for this hast thou chosen rather than affliction. So he's telling Job, he said, you've chosen iniquity rather than affliction. Behold, Yahweh is exalted by his power, who teaches like him? So he told Moses and Noah, he said, behold, Yahweh is exalted by his power, who teaches like him? Who hath enjoined him his way? Or who can say, thou hast wrought iniquity? Remember that thou magnify his work, which men behold. Every man may see it. Man may behold it afar off. Behold, Yahweh is great, and we know him not. Neither can the number of his years be searched out. For he maketh small the drops of water. They pour down rain according to the vapor thereof, which the clouds do drop and distill upon man abundantly. Also, can any understand the spreadings of the cloud, or the noise of his tabernacle? Behold, he spreads his light upon it and covereth the bottom of the sea. For by them judges he the people, he giveth meat in abundance. With clouds he covereth the light and commandeth it not to shine, by the cloud that cometh betwixt. The noise of his shores concerning it, the cattle also, concerning the vapor. Okay, that ends that reading there. Let's go to now James chapter 1, and let's see what we can find out there to go along with what we're doing here. It says we're dealing with the word double-minded now, and you know, an unstable person knows that something's wrong with him. He knows that something's not right. He don't know exactly what's causing it, maybe, but he knows that things are just not altogether right, and he's not happy with himself and with his environment around him. Well, let's look at what James has to say, maybe, and we might get a little insight on what causes us to feel so unstable. Said James, the servant of Yahweh and of the Savior Yeshua Messiah, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, Now, this is who we're addressing today. This is what the house of David's in business for, is gathering the 12 tribes, 144,000. How do we gather them? We gather them through the instructions given out in the scriptures. It's like a treasure hunt. You go hunt for the truth as hidden treasure. And so it says in James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect, and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of Yahweh, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Yahweh. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Let the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Yahweh hath promised to him of them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of Yahweh, for Yahweh cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will beget he us with the word of the truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of Yahweh. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before the Father, and is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now we're going to close out with James chapter 4. It says, verse 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with Yahweh? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of Yahweh. Do ye think that the scripture saith, in vain the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, Elohim resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore unto Yahweh. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay, Dennis, or Roberts, this one's for you. Submit yourselves therefore unto Yahweh. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So I'm going to leave that with you, Dennis Roberts. I'm going to dedicate that scripture to you, James 4:7. James 4:8. Draw near to Yahweh, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and keep and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of Yahweh, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judges another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. But what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. So that ye ought to say to Yahweh, will we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. This brings the close of our studies. Our contact is at the 11th hour call, and as number 11 took on our audio archive, we're going to close now with a song. I am bound for the promised land. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and test with full heart to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land, yes I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. All o'er those wide extended plains shines one eternal day. There Yahshua with the sun forever reigns and setteth not away. I am bound for the promised land, yes I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. No chilling winds, no poisonous breath can reach that healthful shore. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death are felt and feared no more. Bound for the promised land, yes I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my father's face and his bosom rest? I am bound for the promised land, yes I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound